Blog Talk Radio. Well, good evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here tonight on the Sedona Connection, Blog Talk Radio here, and also it's in conjunction with my blog site, the Sedona Connection, with the same thing. Lots of you already lining up on the callers tonight. I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. You've probably received my emails. You've probably also seen some of the postings that have happened on my blog site, some of the others, and the Dinar recaps. And the program topic tonight, obviously, is we're going to continue this discussion about the dinar and dong reval currency exchange. But before that, you know, I love that jingle. Just to let you know, that's The Dance of Love is the title of the song. It's from Frederick Delarue. It's a wonderful album that he has. Boy, I have to admit, I don't have that album right here in front of me. I guess I didn't do my homework before the program started. But, you know, the jingle started, I thought, oh, I always like that. So glad you enjoy it too. So again, welcome tonight. We're here every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock Pacific time, 9 o'clock on the East Coast, and I'm coming from this absolutely wonderful, beautiful place in my home, Sedona, Arizona. You know, if you go to my blog site, the Sedona Connection, and I've got this little subtitle there, I says, you know, what is it about Sedona? It says, it's the energy. And folks, it's the energy of this place. And a lot of the people who live here, we know it, we understand it. So every once in a while, I always want to say, you know, it's a wonderful place to come and visit. This greater Sedona area is basically just a smaller community. There's only around 20,000 people that live here around year-round. But we have over 4 million visitors a year, tourists that come through this area. And it's called the Red Rock Country. It is some of the most beautiful country in the United States, if let alone the world. It's the mountains and the rocks and the dirt all around here, and it's all red. And when I say it's the energy of this area, the uniqueness of Sedona, it's kind of turned into, I guess if we could call it, the metaphysical capital of the United States, let alone the world. There are more metaphysical healers, practitioners, workers here than almost anywhere else in the world on a per population basis. That's hardly even not even a debatable issue. But what is it? There was some folks I was with just earlier in the week, and they're from out of state, and they were some tourists in the area. And they asked that question, well, what is it about this energy, this vortex stuff of Sedona? And I said, think of it this way. The Earth has an electromagnetic field that surrounds it. We all know that. It's measurable. And this electromagnetic energy, there are places where it enters into and comes out of the Earth. Those are the portals. And Sedona is one of those areas that happens. And it's not ironic because I said when this is the Red Rock Country, it's because the land here, the mountains, the rocks, the dirt, they're filled with basically iron and copper. And if you know your basics about electricity, iron and copper are conductors of electricity, i.e. conductors of energy. So the vibration frequency of that electromagnetic field that surrounds the Earth, it's higher here in Sedona. And people who come here, they feel that. And it attracts people who are in alignment with that. They understand that. They're in alignment with the energy of the Earth that surrounds it. And I guess I've kind of transitioned into one of those people because I didn't understand this stuff for years of my life. And it's basically just been in the last 5 to 10 years I've come to understand it. And this area kind of pulled me into it. And I love being here. This is my home. I love this place. And then people ask, well, what is the vortex energy? Well, there are certain places here in the Sedona area where that energy is stronger. And it literally is an energy vortex. The four famous ones, for those of you that come here as visitors, it's Bell Rock, Cathedral Rock, the Airport Mesa, and Boynton Canyon are the four primary vortex centers, but it can happen anywhere in the area. But I've lived here now for over a year, and people says, well, do you feel it? Do you notice it? I mean, what does it do to you and all that kind of stuff? I guess I can say this is, because I'm here all the time, I don't necessarily notice it, but I do notice it when I leave this area. When I leave this greater Sedona Verde Valley, I feel the difference in my body. It's like that energy vibration isn't quite as strong. That's the wonder of this area, and that's why we call it, you know, this, you know, the Red Rock Country, the Vortex Center. And then when on my blog site, it says, it's the energy. It's the energy of Sedona. Well, on this radio program, that's what I focus on. What is the energy things, the higher vibrational energy things that are coming to us, we are moving into, that are taking place not only here in Sedona and America, but around the world. And a hot topic right now is this whole issue about the dinar and dong currency exchange. Why is that such a hot topic? Well, I've touched on it in a little bit of my writings, but usually in the radio program, I open up a little bit more, and I come from a little more of what I call the higher energy, a little more of the metaphysical perspective. See, I don't think this is just a money issue. I think this is one of those things that's in the cycles of history that we as a human race are ready to move into a new area of what I call higher consciousness, higher sensitivity, higher awareness of being awake of who we are in this world. There are points in times of human history where there are transitions that take place. For those of us living in the United States, we know one of those transition points was 1776. It was a huge transition in the consciousness of the people around the world. It was a transition where people learned how to think differently because they realized for the first time they could govern themselves through the will of the people, and they didn't have to be governed and controlled by a king or a dictator. They really were stepping up and becoming their own self-governors, if you want to use that term. Well, I think we're ready to move into a new higher state of consciousness, because when you become self-governing, you're taking on responsibility and you're moving out of what has been a, I guess for the lack of a better term, is a slavery mentality that can be placed upon you by others. Now, have we been slaves in the last 100 years? No. Have we had slavery in America? Yes. And are we still moving and transitioning in that stuff? Yes, we are. But let's talk about money. The power people and the controllers on this planet for centuries and centuries have used the power of money to control us. Over 60% of the planet's population lives on less than $2 a day. And then the rest of us, the vast majority of us, are in some form of what I would call a bondage to our jobs. We aren't really free to do what we want, when we want, or how we want it, or to really pursue those dreams and those goals that we have in our lives. If you had $1 million, $5 million, would your life change? Of course it would. Because, see, money gives you the ability to create the life that you want, to pursue the dreams that you want, to be able to do other things, whatever it is that desire of down in your heart and down in your soul. Money gives you the ability to do that. It sets you free. And if you don't have that money, then you're basically, in essence, a slave to your job, to your employer, to your time schedule, because you have to spend the vast majority of your time bringing in an income just to have a daily survival. That's where most of the human race was literally for millenniums, because the vast majority of their time was just spent gathering food to exist. Then we moved into a new situation. It was called the Industrial Age, and then the middle 1800s, and life started changing. We started being able to expand more. But in the process of all this change, all the way through, we've always had this small group of people that I call the cabal controllers. They control the world's money supply, and they've always done that. One of the senior Rothschilds, and if you aren't familiar, the Rothschilds are basically the most powerful banking family in the world. They come out of both Germany and Britain, but they've also got controlling powers in most of Europe, and they have a controlling influence here in the United States. But one of the Rothschilds had said, give me the control of a country's money supply, and I will control the country regardless of what laws they pass. And folks, that's the reality of where most of us are. We can pass laws and we can have our constitution, but the reality is those who control the money are really the ones who control what goes on. And to me, those powerful cabal dictators have been the ones who, it's almost like there's an addiction to the sense of power and control. The sense of power over other people, for some, becomes an addictive energy and almost like an aphrodisiac that just they feed on, and it becomes very addictive. And we are in a transition point. And I absolutely believe that this reval, because what it's going to do, it's going to take a couple of million people and let them become overnight millionaires. This is not a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This is a once-in-a-millennium opportunity. This just doesn't happen hardly at all ever in the history of the human race. And there's going to be, in my estimations, I've heard in the numbers between 3 and 4 million people who are going to become overnight millionaires, and they're going to be released to be set free. But in this, is a new sense of consciousness that is arising. In essence, we have the opportunity to set a new paradigm about how we use our money and what does money mean to us. We have lived in a world where the wealthy predominantly gather money for themselves to make themselves feel better, to feed their egos, to control, and there's a lot of them, it's just like it's never enough. I mean, how much money do you need? How many pairs of shoes do you need to buy? How many cars do you need to have? Now, I'm not degrading having those things, but it's not an issue of how much you have. It's an issue of how much does the money have you? Are you in a position where you've got this pull at you that you've got to have more? There's never enough. You feel it pull at you. You think that it's going to give you a place of security. Or when the money comes in, are you in a position, you're free. It doesn't make any difference whether you have 200,000 or 200 million. Inside, within your soul, there's that place of freedom. There's a place of joy. There's a place of peace. And when you are there, you're free to release your money and give it away. And when you release money and give it away, you can call it reaping what you sow. You can call it from the biblical terms of give and it shall be given unto you. You can apply it and call it with what is called the law of attraction principles. You, whatever you are doing and releasing out from yourself is what is going to come back into you. And as we become beneficiaries to help others with this wealth, then we are in the position to change this world. Changing this world from, and I'm going to talk predominantly what's the picture right here in the United States, but it really can be easily applied to all around the world. We've come to a position our political system is broken. And if you don't think that isn't broken, look at what's happening right now in the U.S. government with the federal government shutdown. Congress can't get hardly anything done because it's all about who's going to be in power, who's going to be in the majority, and who's going to have the votes to control, but neither side can get anywhere and get anything done. Our political system is broken. Our healthcare system is broken. It is so expensive. Healthcare costs, healthcare insurance, $700 a month. This is absolutely ludicrous. Healthcare has turned into a profit industry more than it is a healing industry. Our financial system is broken. All of the G8 countries in the world are theoretically bankrupt. They're on fiat currencies, which means it's only the word of the government that's going to back it up. Well, that's about ready to come to an end. They are at the point they really can't keep doing that anymore because it's about ready to collapse. And we basically also have, it's our political system, it's our healthcare system, it's our economic system. Those systems are basically, they're broken. And we're at a point where we're going to come to what I call one of those climactic shifts and changes. And this currency reset is the thing that has the opportunity to, for us, change our world. And it's going to be the thing that's probably going to kick that off, to start it more than anything else. And as we are moving into a world where the world is smaller through our ability to communicate all around the world instantly on the internet, it's going to find that we're going to be becoming more and more what we call the people of oneness, that we realize that our world is really small. It's no longer what just happens to my neighbor next door, because my neighbor next door is the person that's halfway around the world because of our ability to interact and communicate with each other. Right here tonight, there's going to be people listening to this radio program all around the world, not just in the U.S. of A. and not just here in Sedona, Arizona. They're going to be listening all around the world. We have the ability to step in and make a change. Now, with that, I want to do that because I want to lead into the hot topic that's been happening on the last couple of days. And that's what is called the issue of the NDA, the non-disclosure agreement. Yesterday, one of the primary bloggers on Dinar Recaps had mentioned that the banks are coming down with an issue that if you're going to have this reset, you're going to have to sign a non-disclosure agreement. He posted more today and gave more information on that. Now, first of all, I want to clarify, I am not here to castigate, to attack, and be negative about what is being said. TNT Tony is the messenger. He's telling us what is being told to him and what he has seen. I don't think he has any ill intentions. I think he's trying to be helpful. He's trying to give us information. I'm coming from a different position on it. And folks, you probably saw what I did, and I sent this out to my email list, and I'm not the one who is posting those on Dinar Recaps. Somebody else is taking and doing it. And if they're going to do it, they're going to do it. I mean, that's the way it is. You live in the world of the internet. If you're going to send stuff out to a group of people, expect that it may take off and go viral. I don't have any problems with that because I'm willing to stand by what I said on that. Let me say this right up front. If you feel you need to sign an NDA agreement, I'm not going to argue with you on that. I'm not going to tell you to do that or to not do that. Personally, I don't think it's a good idea because there's so many holes that are in it that you could drive 1,000 Mack trucks legally through what they're wanting to accomplish on that thing. It's kind of ludicrous with what the intention is of what they're saying that they're wanting to accomplish. I'm not here to debate whether or not you should or shouldn't do it. That's your personal decision. You need to make that decision. What I want to do, though, is give some clarity to the topic. I would like to shine some light on the topic, and I'd like to share my opinion of what I think is really behind what's taking place there on that issue. Okay? I want to do this. Today, if you go to the Dinar Recaps blog site today, and you had the post that came on from TNT Tony this afternoon, first of all, right off the bat, he says, good morning, TNT. It's Wednesday, October 9th, 2013, and we're going to start off by telling you that I am 99.99999% sure this is happening today. I've got some info to tell you guys. So Tony is basically absolutely convinced that everything else is happening tonight. But then after that, he goes on, and he says, the info is still coming out, and we're still getting some windows. And he said, yesterday we heard about the NDA, and I received a copy of a 5-page versus a 20-page agreement with one of the groups. It's not that hard to read and understand why they are the qualifications, and I was told they have different ones for different states to cover everything legally. And then it goes on. It says, basically, it says, Homeland Security will heavily monitor and track transactions of funds received from transactions, etc. It does say who can talk, you can talk to, and who you cannot talk to. It's a 10-year agreement. It covers a lot. My thinking right now is that it's like a standard NDA, and here's in bold print. You can talk to people who did sign. You cannot talk to people who did not sign an NDA. But I would get a legal interpretation about that. Folks, how in the world do you legally enforce an agreement or a statement like that? You can't. Here's what they're saying. Let me take a step back. I got to be careful I don't get it going on a bandwagon here, because I got to be reasonable in what I'm going to talk about tonight. But yes, I was a state senator in Washington State for 12 years, so I understand law and politics. I have a background in banking and finance. I've been a market trader for 17 years, but I also spent 25 years in the Army National Guard. So I spent 25 years in the military reserves. I understand military. I also understand what is called emergency management, i.e. Homeland Security. That was one of my special areas when I was in the state legislature. And I'm going to make a statement. Some of you may not like this, but I do. I'm going to stand by this. First of all, let me say, the vast majority of the employees at Homeland Security, or Department of Homeland Security, are good people. They want to do the right thing. It's not so much the everyday employees who are doing their job. It's the secret quasi-government that uses that agency through their power and their manipulation to create confusion and control this world. The Department of Homeland Security, to me, has turned into the Department of Big Brother. They use that information, and it gets leaked out to these money people, this vast wealthy people of money, who use that to control the world. Folks, there is stuff all over the internet about incidents that have come up, the history of the Federal Reserve, issues around 9/11, how the cabal had financed both sides of World War I and World War II. You don't need to take my word for it. Go do your own research. It's all over the place, and the evidence is overwhelming. The evidence is also extremely strong that President Kennedy was assassinated because he wanted to move us off of a Federal Reserve currency system to a U.S. Treasury currency system. Within a month of when he had signed an executive order to start issuing U.S. Treasury bills versus Federal Reserve notes, within 1 month he was assassinated. And why did they do that? Because the cabal that controls the world money, controls the Federal Reserve, controls the world banks, controls the world financial system, and they have used what is called secrecy, keeping it in the secret and in the dark and instigating things of fear to be able to control this. Now, that's where I'm coming from on all this. And so when I saw this NDA agreement, man, did red flags go up for me. I'm sorry. I want to come back and I'm going to read that paragraph to you again. Basically, it says Homeland Security, i.e. the Big Brother agency, will heavily monitor and track transactions and funds received from transactions. This is a 10-year agreement of who you can talk to and who you can't talk to. And when you sign that agreement, you're basically handling over all the information in your checking accounts and your financial transactions to the Homeland Security, i.e. the NSA, who is an agency under the Department of Homeland Security. Homeland Security controls the NSA. You know about the NSA. Hello, Big Brother? Yeah. These are the things that concern me. What I see coming out of this is, again, it's this cabal control where they want to control by fear, and they're now saying, you got to sign this agreement before you can turn in this cash. And if you don't sign this agreement to zip your lips and to stay quiet and to not talk about it, then we're not going to let you do it. Whatever happened to freedom? Whatever happened to the First Amendment, freedom of the press? Whatever happened to my right to make a simple cash transaction of one currency to another and the freedom to do with my money what I want and to keep it quiet and not have to tell the whole world. Or I have the freedom to tell the world if I want to. Have you thought through that statement? Now I want to go back and read something in the next paragraph of why they are supposedly doing this. It says, their concern, i.e. Homeland Security, is the general public, exposing other people who were involved in this process, turning the world upside down for 50,000 because we were lucky enough to be a part of this. In essence, they're saying, oh, all you money, people that have gotten this money, we need to protect you from the rest of the world's population who's going to be really jealous because they weren't able to be a part of this. Folks, this is ludicrous. There's been an organized media blackout on this currency exchange. You and I know that. Who controls the media? The people who control the Federal Reserve, the cabal who controls the money, they own the media. They have created the blackout. They have created the situation. They are the ones who have not let this out to the public. I've got various reasons for what I think around that. But can you see what's developing here? Here's what I see. These are the cabal, people who have controlled the world's money for centuries and it's come down through their families. They're now realizing they're losing control. They don't want this reval to happen. They don't want all of us being set free with our wealth. They don't want us setting a new standard of how the wealthy uses its money. It's challenging their system. It's challenging their lifestyle. It's challenging their control that has been going on for centuries, and they don't like it. And they have been trying to do everything they can to stop this. But they're at the point and they realize they can't. It's gonna happen. So, okay, if I'm gonna lose control of the money, I wanna make sure I still have control of my power. And how do you do that? You still have the power by silencing all of the people that became the overnight millionaires. And they use Homeland Security, sign this agreement, and then they got you. Now, this might be somewhat of a facetious statement that I'm going to say. Folks, it's your choice. I'm not going to judge you whether or not you're going to sign an NDA. We don't even know if it's going to happen. TNT Tony says it's going to happen, and you can't make the transition without it. And I'm not castigating Tony. He's just the messenger. But let me put you into this scenario. If you sign that agreement, you have signed a contract with the Department of Homeland Security where they have the right to now have access to all of your financial transactions for 10 years. They have the right to control what you can say and what you cannot say. They have the right to, in essence, put I'm not going to say a noose around your neck, but they have the right to put a leash on you and pull you around and jerk you around where they want you to go. And all it takes is one little tiny slip up and you can have Homeland Security knocking on your door saying, you better zip your lip. This is ludicrous that they need us to do this so it won't create riots and pandemonium. Folks, this is a free world for us in the Western world with free markets and freedom to do what we want with our money. We made choices to make this. Nobody forced us to purchase dinar or dong. There's others who think it's a scam. These are people who've made a free will choice. And you can't say it's been kept secret. It's been all over the internet. Go to any bank, and the banks are sick and tired of us coming in and asking about dinar and dong. It's the mainstream media that's put the blackout on it. There's going to be people that are going to realize they're going to be scratching their heads or they're going to be kicking themselves in the rear end and say, why didn't I do that? It's a freedom of issue choice. And can you see where Department of Homeland Security, the Big Brother agency, is wanting to take another step of having control over our lives, where they're now wanting to step into our homes and have complete access to all of your financial transactions and telling you who you can and who you can't talk to. That in itself is ludicrous. Let me go back and read this statement. It's in bold print. You can talk to people who did sign. You cannot talk to people who did not sign an NDA. You know what that means is, hey, folks, everybody who's listening to this radio program, if you didn't sign an NDA, would you please go off the air? I can't talk to you. Did you get what I just said? I have no idea who is listening to this radio program. It's just me sitting here at my desk in front of a computer monitor with some headphones and a microphone on. I don't know how many people, I can tell you how many callers have called into on my switchboard. I have no idea how many people are listening live. I have no idea how many people are going to listen to this program archived that's going to be placed on the internet for months and years to come. And in my in what I wrote, I also talked about how this is impossible to be able to enforce it. And I said, picture this situation. A husband and wife team participate in the reval. One cashes it in, but the other signs nothing. How do you stop the one who doesn't sign anything from telling their story? There is no way possible that you can enforce this measure. It's unenforceable. It's unconstitutional in conjunction with our freedom of speech. This NDA agreement is a lawyer's dream. Ambulance-chasing lawyers will love to come after this stuff. And the banks, maybe they're, you know, being forced by Homeland Security, do this or else. But in normal situations, I can't understand how a bank would touch this, because they're going to have lawsuits filed against them left and right for having to sign this agreement. Because you're basically saying, I have to be totally careful about when, because I don't know if somebody that I may be talking to a person, but there's five people in a group there. I don't know how many of those five people have signed an agreement and how many haven't, or somebody who might hear it from me in a secondary conversation. I think you get it, folks. There are so many legal loopholes in this agreement, you could drive 1,000 Mack trucks through it. Why would something like that, that is so ludicrous from a legal perspective, why would Department of Homeland Security be demanding the banks put that out there for us to sign it? Why? Secondly, this doesn't even apply to anybody outside of the United States. You can't take a U.S. enforced non-disclosure agreement and enforce it on somebody in Canada, Mexico, Europe, Australia, Asia, or who knows where. This is not an international agreement. You know, there are so many ways I could get around this. I could take my money to Canada, cash it in Canada, get it a cashier's check, come down, put it in here. I could go into the bank, sign the non-disclosure agreement, get my $25 per dinar, and as soon as possible move all of my money out of that bank into another bank that is a state bank or a credit union that didn't sign and didn't agree to these disclosure agreements. Do you see what's here? There's no logical, legal reasoning behind this agreement. It's just not there. So then why would they be doing it? Why? Folks, I can't think of anything else. If you can think of anything else, send me an email, daveschmidt@msn.com. Go on to my blog site, thesedonaconnection.wordpress.com. You can also do just thesedonaconnection.com. Go to that. Go to there. Send me a message. If I'm missing something here, would you please let me know? And folks, really, I'm not here trying to castigate Tony. Tony's the messenger. I want to say right up front, Tony, thank you. Thank you for the work that you've done. Thank you for the years that you've put in. Thank you for the hard labor that you've put in. Thank you for standing in there when you've had to take so much crap from so many people. You've done a good service to us, and you're just the messenger. But I'm bringing in a different perspective that maybe you hadn't thought of. Okay? That's all. And I want you to think about this, folks. I think, personally, this is another step of the big brother government trying to take away our freedom. And guess what? If Homeland Security can get by with doing this to us, who else can they do it to? Are you catching my silence? This concerns me. It really concerns me. And guys, I'm not a conspiracist person. People who know me, I'm probably up on a soapbox on this tonight more than anything I've ever gotten on a soapbox about. I don't do this stuff very often. But I love my freedom. I love America. I love this world. And I absolutely believe we are at a turning point in our history of the human race to change this world. And this is an attempt of the people who have controlled us for centuries to stop it. They couldn't stop the reveal from happening, but now they can attempt to silence us. And that's what I see happening here, because there's just no logical sense behind any of this stuff legally for it to be able to happen. So, all right. I've gone on for about a half hour. I'm ready to take a break. I want to laugh for a little bit. Have some fun. Hey, I didn't tell you about it. You know, folks, I lived in the Seattle area for about 32 years, and I'm loving my Seattle Seahawks. Well, that's all I'll say for that. I know I might have got a rile out of some of you there. Yeah, you know, it happens. You know, good teams come and go. I haven't transitioned over to the Arizona Cardinals yet, living here in the state of Arizona. But I was a Seahawks fan for years, and it's nice to see that they're doing well. And it, you know, Baltimore, the Ravens were great last year. You know, New England's always good. 49ers have been good. I'm a Seahawks fan. And they lost on Sunday. Oh, well, so much for that. Let's do this. I'm ready to take a break. I'm ready to move in and talk to some callers. I've been able to do my ranting for about a half hour. I'm ready to start talking with some of you. So the first lady that I'm going to bring in is Judy from area code 702. Judy, welcome on the air tonight. What's your comment?
I'm so glad to connect with you. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. Can you hear me?
Yes. All right, Dave, I've got to give you a little different perspective, and everything you wrote, it is a breath of fresh air, so appreciated. But I feel in my gut, you're railing against the straw man. Nothing Tony has ever told us turned out to be true. It's not personal to Tony. It's pure research. If you go back to the internet, 2011, I'm the same thing. And that's not a quote, but about whatever nuance was happening tonight. And then there's always a wrinkle of why it's different. If there's nobody else talking about this non-disclosure, and if you even talk about the wording, it's amateurish, the way that I don't even think that it makes sense. The way that you said, it's not even forceful saying you can't. If you didn't talk to my brother, then you signed the non-disclosure. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. In other words, to me, it has the earmarks of manipulation for the I can't prove any of this, but I'm going by past history. 2 weeks ago, Tony said 99%. Now he has upped it to 99.9%. I think the game is to see how many people will follow him, no matter how insane what doesn't come true is. So that is a big concern to me. That is not does not mean the RV is not true. That does not mean your breath of fresh air is not true. That doesn't mean Mountain Goat or Eagle One or some of the people that are not so outlandish. Tony ups the ante each time. Now the RV is going to be almost to 27, then 30. It's almost as if he's saying, you know, will you believe this if I put it out? Will you believe that if I put it out? So railing against the NDA, if in fact, and I can see why anybody would think it, when it may not even exist, other than we have no proof that any of the intel
other than he gets on the phone three times a week and he does put energy into it. I give him that. But we have no proof that anything, if you go back on a track record, what do they say, the best predictor of future events is past events? If you go back on the track record that's been there, I'm just putting this out there because I'm a researcher. I've researched legal cases for many years, you know, in that situation. Many times people sign, you know, to get settlements. They say it's a different thing. I realize that. So, you know, like you say, it's up to each person. If for the very small possibility that what he's saying is true, even though nothing has been true on anything that he's put out there. So that, I just want to put that perspective out there.
You know, Judy, let me just also mention.
I've been digging on this. I've been digging. Go ahead.
Well, and I understand. I think sometimes, again, I want to give respect to Tony with what he has done well. And I don't want to get into an argument of fighting back and forth. That just intensifies the drama that we don't really need. But
I agree with you. I'm not trying to make it personal about him. I just want to get off on him. I didn't even need to say his name. I'm just saying facts, not in evidence. Let's put it that way. Facts, not in evidence, you know, are not something to, in other words, show me. Show me by the past actions that then came true 2 years ago, 3 years ago. You know, it just hasn't happened. Last month, 2 weeks ago when it was 99%, now it's 99%. People are starting to question the very facts. Forget about the personalities. Forget about who said, did. Don't care about that. We're all here for the same thing, one way or the other, which is the spiritual uplift, as you know, golden age of Gaia, the planet, the freedom for a lot of people. But that doesn't mean we want to be manipulated along the way. So that's just what I'm giving a voice to.
And I say
it's not personal judgment. It's not a personal judgment. It's just I do feel passionate when I have done the research and I can see the trail of manipulation that has gone on. I mean, maybe it's giving some people hope in a certain way, and so I can't, you know, begrudge that. But I really want to dig deeper, look at what's really the truth. And so what I wanted to ask you, this is a really practical question, and my husband thought you might, you know, with your background, with this debt, you know, ceiling approaching, and of course the government shutdown, if they use these currencies to pay off the debt rather than to raise the debt ceiling, how could that be done? And could this be an opportunity, all that's going on with this, to do the reveal based on, you know, Obama? In essence, he would be shutting off the Tea Party or whoever it is that's stopping this, and then he, instead of raising the debt ceiling, he would use these, in a general sense, I want your perspective, he would be using these current to pay off the debt.
Yes,
you got it,
and I think that's a very high probability, and we have precedents for that before. In fact, I was going to tonight talk about the history of the Kuwaiti dinar when it was revalued in 1990. And Judy, if this is okay, this is probably a good time for me to do that because it fits in with this.
Sure.
In 1989 is when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait and took over the country of Kuwait. And before the United Nations formed a coalition to drive him out, he had already had total control of the country. He went in and basically took all and the Kuwaiti currency is a dinar also. So he took all the dinar out of all of their banks, stripped all of their banks of all of their money, and then implemented that the Iraqi dinar was now the currency of Kuwait, and had declared that Kuwait was now another state of the country of Iraq. So he had total control, took all the money away. Well, when that happened, the United Nations voted to remove the Kuwaiti dinar from the international foreign exchange and to totally devalue their currency. It dropped down to something like 3 to 4 cents where on the dollar to where at that time I think it was around 340, somewhere in that area. Because the concern was is he was going to take that money, and it was the billions that he had taken out of the banks of Kuwait, and was going to use that to purchase more military arms, more tanks, more airplanes, etc., and stuff like that. But if that currency was worthless and the United Nations had already passed to put them in Chapter 7, and they made their currency worthless. His money he had, he couldn't do anything. He couldn't trade it on the international market. So Kuwait's dinar was totally devalued. The United Nations went in and had what was called, you know, the first Persian Gulf War, and this was in February of 1990, and it only took a few weeks to move him out. And then the Kuwaiti government was reinstated. And I think it was in April or May, I forgot the exact month, but the United Nations gave permission to Kuwait, and their currency was revalued back to around the 345 per dinar, close to where it is today. There were people who were able to purchase some of the Kuwaiti dinar when it's down around 4 to 6 cents. And there were people that became overnight millionaires when that happened. Now, we don't hear a lot about it because it was hard to get a hold of the currency. And the window was very, very small. There was only a few months of the window of opportunity. And also, based on the research that I have done, because I Googled it, did the research on it, you had to go to Kuwait to turn your currency in. So it wasn't like this was something that we have now. But there was a historical time when that happened, when a country's currency was extremely devalued, and then it came back and it popped back up from like from 6 cents to around 340 to 350. So, yeah, this is going to happen, and it's happened before. We all know that, and we all believe that. But to have them come in and try to silence us about that, this is ludicrous when we come from my perspective on it. So did I, and also, you know, Judy, I might have lost my track there a little bit, but you follow me on that? Do you understand where we're going with this?
Yes. Yeah, but in today's world, with this October 17th deadline looming, where, I mean, how does it affect this, my husband's saying, also, how does it affect this country? In other words, let's say they go to the brinksmanship on October 17th. Is that a time where a big move could be made? Where the is there enough? Does the U.S. Treasury or whatever it is own enough dinar that would, instead of raising the debt ceiling, pay off a lot of the debt? And then
okay.
How would
yeah.
that be presented?
Okay, I got you now. Because what we forget is when the Kuwaiti dinar was revalued, the U.S. government had purchased a lot of that. And for about 2 years after that, the U.S., in the United States, in our budget, we had a surplus. And the reason what is reported on some of these Google sites, the reason we had a surplus is because of all the money that we made from the revaluing of the Kuwaiti dinar. And the word is the United States has trillions of Iraqi dinar, and they want to basically... hey, Judy, I'm going to put you on hold for just a second because we're getting a little feedback,
sure.
Okay? Yeah, okay.
Sure.
They want to use the Iraqi dinar to basically pay off our debt here in the U.S. And supposedly, some of the rumors are is that that's why, and it's been President Obama has been doing all the negotiation on this, to run the value up of the dinar so that it can be up there to 25, 27, 28, so that the government will literally get trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars to pay off our debt. Now, how is this going to lead up to October 17th? I don't really know the full facts on that. But here's what I do know about from my experience in being in government budgets. Yeah, supposedly the United States is supposed to run out of money on October 17th. There is another form of a reserve that Jack Lew, the U.S. Treasury Secretary, has the ability to tap into. And the president, in a limited perspective, has the ability to declare a presidential emergency executive order and to allow operations to continue. What's happening right now in this shutdown, I think I read something like it was 80% of the federal government is still operating. And for the vast majority of us, it doesn't really affect us on a day-to-day basis. It doesn't affect me any. I've had zero impact in my day-to-day life because of the federal government shutting down. Are there lots of things they can do? Yeah. Now, behind the scenes, there is a possibility that this can be being played out to destroy the power of the Federal Reserve, to strip them of their power, to continually printing up money, because that is what is creating a lot of the problem. So, Judy, I'm going to bring you back on the air now. And does that make sense? Did that answer your question?
Great. Yes, thanks for that insight. And I'm wondering, so being your with your government experience, if the president wanted to act, I mean, in other words, rather than raising the debt ceiling, this would be a way of, like, in essence, paying down the debt. Without the Congress, or how would he act? What would be the power? You said about an emergency order, but what would be the power? Let's say nobody knows for sure, but let's say the revale was going to happen. Trillions of dollars would be pouring in for use by the government. How does he then use it if he doesn't go through Congress? How does that work?
Well, here's what's interesting. The Constitution says that only Congress has the power to tax. And it's the act of Congress where they pass a budget and said, Mr. President, administrative branch of government, this is the budget we're giving to you, and this is where you get to spend to carry out your administration. But here's what's interesting about if these trillions come through in the reval. That doesn't come through by a vote of Congress. It comes through by an act within the administrative branch of government. It's the administrative branch that created the reval. The reval, it revalued under the administrative branch, so therefore the branch has full power to use it as they see fit because it was not money that was appropriated by Congress. When Congress appropriates money in a bill that is a law, the administrative branch has to spend it with those budgetary restrictions within those, you know, by agencies and departments and stuff like that. They have to follow within the guidelines of the budget law that is passed. But if it's an act of the administration has full capability to use that money however they want. And President Obama becomes a pretty powerful guy with these trillions and trillions and trillions
of
dollars.
That's the answer that we weren't clear on. Yes,
yeah,
that's
that he can use
clarity.
That he can use as he decides, because he is the CEO of the administrative branch of government. Now, let's say October 17th rolls around, and nothing happens. He can sign a what is called an executive order, and an executive order is in place until the judicial branch steps in and says, you're out of line, Mr. President. You exceeded your authority in this executive order. It's the balance of powers between the three branches of government. Your budget and taxing always starts with Congress. It's Congress's responsibility to give a bill to the president to either sign it or veto it. And until they do that, they are not fulfilling their responsibility. Congress can blame the president all they want, but the bottom line is it's their responsibility to pass the bill. All the president can do is sign it or veto it. And they have not fulfilled their responsibility. And I'm not blaming this on Republicans or Democrats. I'm saying Congress, within the construct of the Constitution, within what is their authority and their responsibility. So the president, if they don't send him any money through a bill, and all this money revalue takes place, he can do whatever he wants because he's the CEO of the administrative branch of government, and this was an act that came through the administrative branch, not the legislative branch. And it's the separation of powers that is laid out in a constitution. So,
brilliant. I hope a lot of people hear this because it's very illuminating. It also reminds me of the one of the messages from Archangel Michael, was one of the Linda Dillon sessions, practical magic. We need this practical magic for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. If it worked in that way, it would have a lot of layers that it would lift. So I don't know. We don't know if that's what it's going to be, but it's nice to know the practical part about that. And
well,
oh,
what's
go ahead.
Well, what's interesting, Judy, is this has the ability to break the logjam. We, right now in America, our political system is broken. You basically have both political parties that it's all about power and control and getting the majority. And it's about me, what I doing, what I want with my party to stop you because I don't like yours. And it's created a logjam where the essential things in our government aren't getting done. Essential things like having good health care reform, because we have a health care system that's broken. The essential things by basically stripping the Federal Reserve of its power, because it's a private corporation running the money of the world that operates in its own best interest. They can't get that done. They can't fix Social Security because they're at a deadlock. And I'm not saying this to be pro-Obama or against Obama. I'm not saying this to be Republican or Democrat. All I'm saying is the president who is in power, when this happens, has the opportunity to take that money and to break this logjam, because it is going to be trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. And this president, whoever this happens through, could go down as one of the most either loved or hated presidents in the history of this country because of the power that will come through this money. Because he will, unless I'm missing something in my Constitution, and I don't think I am, this is an act that is totally within the administrative branch of government, and Congress can't touch him on it because it's the separation of powers between the three branches. And the courts, the judicial system, can't step in and tell him what he can and can't do with that money because they can only interpret law. They cannot come in and tell him what to do. So there's a lot of dramatics that's playing out behind the scene on all this. I don't have the answer to all of it. I don't know the full story. But I do know that come October 17th, you know, if the reveal happens between now and then, man, this is going to be a world-changing event. If that happens. So,
how does the dong, and the, you know, the dong is the primary other currency that I'm knowing about. But how does the other currencies fit into this? I mean, if the Treasury owns dinar and it could, you know, help with the debt, how does the dong and all the other currencies play into that, tie into that?
Well, it comes back to the whole issue of a global currency reset, Judy. And it's what I talk about on that Q&A article. Again, go to my blog site, thesedonaconnection.com, and then there, you'll see, you know, the Q&A article. And I talk about the difference between the dinar and the dong. It's the difference between what is a dinar revaluation versus a global currency reset. I side to the global currency reset, and I think that's what's going to happen here, is because it's back to that all of the G8 countries are theoretically bankrupt with fiat currencies. And also, you can go in and you can Google the name Karen Hudes, H-U-D-E-S. She is the formal legal counsel to the World Bank that's turned into a whistleblower, and there's now three or four different interviews of her available out there on YouTube, and wow, she is absolutely wonderful, and she gets it, and I'm with her, I guess I'll put it that way. She's saying the currencies of the world, the fiat currencies, are ready to collapse. If we don't do something, we're going to have a global currency collapse because all of these countries are so far in debt. They are at the place they can't pay back their debt anymore. Their gross domestic product, their gross national product, is not going to create enough revenue to pay back their debt. So what happens there, the currencies collapse. So she says, we are going down a road that one of two things is going to happen. The currencies are going to collapse, or there needs to be a global currency reset based on assets to revalue all the currencies. That's what I see coming. That's what most of the people say that are coming. And when that happens, there's three currencies here in the world that are way out of balance with the rest of the currencies: Iraq, Vietnam, and the Indonesian rupiah. Those are the three. So that's where the Vietnamese dong comes in. And I know for those of you that are followers of the Golden Age of Gaia blog site and Steve Becko, Steve had recommended purchasing Dong. The reason for the Dong is because the value on the dollar, the return on the dollar, is much better than the dinar. There's a lot of information coming out of the Intel sources about the dinar. There's very little coming out about the Dong. But the speculation is they want to do a global currency reset all at the same time so that people can't do what is called double dipping. Let's say the dinar happens first and you become an overnight millionaire. Well, then you can turn around and spend $100,000 on purchasing Dong that will turn you into $100 million or who knows what. You get the point. It allows you to double dip. And they don't want that to happen because it throws a lot of economic stuff out of balance. Okay? Does that answer your question, Judy?
It sure does. This is my last comment or question, and I'll let you go here.
Okay.
You gave a beautiful Saint Germain channeling message that you posted. And I did not see that specific one on the Golden Age of Gaia. Is there another website that addresses that?
It came through a lady by the name of Catherine May. And Catherine is a little bit controversial in some of her stuff, so she does not get posted on the Golden Age of Gaia, nor the Yahoo discussion group around the Golden Age of Gaia. They don't post her there. I thought it was a good message because it was in line with what is coming from other sources as well. And the esoteric side part of me that says, when I hear some of these channeled messages coming through, I try to find at least three of them.
Yes.
And these are people that they do not associate with each other, but they're all saying the same thing. I try to get confirmation that this isn't just one person standing on their own out in left field. And this is me personally. Sometimes Catherine May does that. But in this one, she was right on, and she was really standing in line with what a lot of others are saying. So that's how I see it.
So is that does she have a website, Catherine May? Or
you can Google her name, Catherine May. I don't know her website right off, but if you just M-A-Y,
okay.
Catherine,
okay.
Spelled with a Y, K-A-T-H-R-Y-N, I think it is, and then it's M-A-Y. Google her name, and you'll find it.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Dave. I'll talk to you next.
Okay. All righty. Thanks. Okay. Good night. Okay. I'm going to go to the next caller, and I'm sorry because it's Carla in California. Carla, thank you for being on the air with me tonight. You said something about Asian banks in the U.S. What's your question?
Yes. Hi, Dave. Thank you so much for giving us some insight regarding the DNA the NDA.
The DNA and the NDA, it's all the same, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Okay. Anyway, it was kind of a energy of fear factor going on with that NDA. But anyway, my question is, can you exchange the currency with Asian banks in the U.S.?
Well, most of all the banks in the United States do foreign currency exchanges. There may be some exceptions of some banks that don't. And if I'm understanding your question, I don't know if it's going to make any difference whether you exchange it at an Asian bank or a U.S. bank or what. And the reason is, if you go into a bank, and remember, I've talked about the difference between the street rates and the group rates.
Right.
If you go into a bank and you go up to the teller window, you're going to get the street rate. And it's just a simple cash for check cash exchange. That's all it is. It's very simple. If it's over $10,000, you have to fill out a FinCEN report. That's a federal report that Department of Homeland Security uses because they want to know where did this money come from to make sure that it's not money laundering, it's not terrorist money, it's not, you know, drug selling money and stuff like that. So you have to fill out that report. And
that sounds like
the NDA, no? Yeah, now that's a FinCEN, but that law has been in place since 9/11, so it's been around for over 10 years. If you do a bank transaction over $10,000, you have to fill out a FinCEN report. And so you can assume that would happen. And when I say it's a cash for cash, exchange, they're not going to give you $20,000, $100,000 of cash to walk out with. They're either going to give you a cashier's check or put it in your bank account if you have one with them.
Yeah,
but that's still
an
equivalent of a cash for cash. Yeah, it's a cash for cash exchange. So if you're going to walk up to the teller window, it's real simple, folks. Don't make it any harder than what it is. It isn't any different than taking a $100 Canadian bill up to a teller window and say, give me some American money. That's all it is. And they're either going to give you cash, a cashier's check, or put it in your account. One of those three. And at the volume we're exchanging, they're not going to give us cash. So.
Right, exactly. My last question is, do you have to be in the group to receive an 800 number?
Let me talk about that a little bit, because... Thanks, Carla, for bringing that up. And while I have you here, I'm going to go into more discussion on the 800 number issue, because that's been one of the biggest concerns of the people who have been writing and emailing me. It's, what is this stuff about an 800 number? And folks, go to my blog site, thesedonaconnection.com, and in there at the top of the link, you're going to find the link to what are my newsletters. And in there, you're going to see that there was two of them, the two of them on October 6th, 3 days ago. I talk about the group rate, the 800 number, and the bank relations, and I even follow up with a clarification article about that. There are, I don't know who all these groups are, so don't ask me. There are two, three, or four groups, private groups, that were put together. And there were individuals that formed these groups so that they could go into the bank to negotiate a higher rate based on the volume of the dinar. And supposedly it's around the dinar. Rumors are saying dong might be included. But it was because of the volume. It was the group of people coming together with a volume that gave them the ability to negotiate this higher rate. But things have been changing so much in the last couple of months. Now, there's one group, what is called the General 64/Studley's group, that has been the most prominent, I should say. But about a month ago, they closed their group. So you can't get into that group. So what does that mean now? Well, I've been telling folks, get on the Dinar Recaps newsletter email list, because if you are on that list, you will receive an email with the 800 number. Now, there is not an official group per se, and Dinar Recaps is not an official group. They are just an information source. But through them will come this 800 number that will give you access, and supposedly it's Wells Fargo Bank, and you'll call Wells Fargo, and you will basically set up an appointment, and it's the volume of us collectively coming into them that gives us, I guess you could call it, a group rate versus the street rate. Now, please understand, it's all speculation. None of that stuff is etched in stone. That is what is being reported. And so it's not a, quote, official group per se, as much as it is us as an ability to go in as a collective group to get a better rate. There may be some negotiation that you might have to do. There may be that we will find that the group rate of all of us who are calling in that 800 number are going to get the same rate. A lot of this, we just aren't going to know what's going to happen until it happens.
Right.
And in one of the newsletters, I use it. It's kind of like being Costco members.
Uh-huh.
It's the power of the group that lets you be able to do group purchasing where you get more for your dollar. But yet, as an individual, you still have an individual responsibility to go into Costco to take advantage of it. And if Costco doesn't fit for you, you don't have to take it. See, it gives us an ability to sit down and be able to have the ability to get a higher rate. And that's all it does. And you're a whole lot better to be on the list than not on it.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your answering me.
Thanks, Carla.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, good night.
Good
Okay, I'm going to go to the next caller, and it's from the area code 954. His name is Ron, and you're from Florida. Ron, you're on the air with me now. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Good evening, Dave. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. What's your comment or question tonight?
Yeah, you know, you had mentioned earlier about the NDA, and I'm in total agreement with you. Could they possibly expect that by having the Denarians sign an NDA possibly prevent the information from getting out? It's all over the internet.
Yeah.
How can it not get out? I don't think that's their real intention. The real intention is what you mentioned earlier, in my opinion, possibly, is that the new Denarian millionaires will now have the ability to change the paradigm if they're not held accountable. And so, of course, as soon as somebody tries to buck the system, make the world better, and go towards that new place where it's not about power, but it's about heart, then, of course, the government will find something wrong with that person. They'll fabricate something. And guess what? You signed an NDA. Guess what? Bye-bye. There goes your money. There goes all your abilities to do anything. There goes a problem that is no longer going to be a problem for the cabal and the powers that don't want the paradigm to change.
Well, Ron, I think you and I are on the same page, because I can't for the life of me figure out, because legally it's absolutely horrible. Any lawyer would be laughing anybody out of their office who tried to think, do you think we can make this happen and can force it? You can't stop people. You can't keep it quiet. There, as I said, there's 1,000 loopholes in it to go against what they say is the reason for it. So it's obviously there's something else, some other reason why they're wanting to do this. And they're the big brother agency of the quasi behind the scenes black ops government that we have. And that's the only reason I can think of. It's about their wanting to exercise their power and their control. And, you know, and it's funny, Ron, that when you stop to think about it, they really thought they could make it happen. To me, it's an example of how insane your thinking comes, because you've been so addicted to this power for so many centuries, thinking you can do whatever you want, whenever you want, to anybody that you want. It's an insanity.
Unfortunately, it's an insanity they've been able to perpetuate, and they're continuing to, because, let's face it, a lot of people are going to sign that. And my question is, you know, the Denar really represents oil credits, which are going to be very profitable for the banking institutions. So do you mean to tell me that if I were to walk into my bank and I got an appointment and I say, I've got 100 million dinars, no, I'm not going to sign that. They're going to say, okay, I'm sorry, go home.
I don't think so.
I think they're going to say, wait a second, buddy, we got to make an exception here. Let's talk.
Ron, thank you. You know, let me just mention this for a little bit. When you walk into the bank, and I don't care if it's the branch or if it's an off location with Wells Fargo, their bank employees, they're going to get paid bonuses by how many people they bring into their branch and how many dollars they bring into that branch. And you know what? They don't care if you got dinar or dong. It's all money to them. It's all cash. It's all making the numbers in their branch go up, so they're going to get paid a bonus. And they are not going to let you walk out the door without a fight to get you as a customer.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron, what I see, so what I want to say is, folks, when you walk in the bank, you're the king. You're in control. It's your money. You call the shots. Don't let them run roughshod over you and telling you what to do. And if they won't let you do it, then highly consider getting up and walking out the door and saying, I'm going across the street. You take power and control. You're the millionaire, and they want you. They're going to roll out the red carpet for you. They want you as a customer. And the vast majority of these employees at the branch level are good people. They're nice people. They want to serve you, and you have the ability to make them feel good. Take advantage of that. Go ahead, Ron.
I definitely agree with you. I'm thinking about on the point that where you have control, you know, you mentioned, well, in the A, you can't talk to a person who hasn't signed it. So are they indicating that there would be people who will not have signed it, but will have exchanged their dinars?
Yeah. Ron, can you imagine this situation? You walk into a bank, you're with a bank employee, the bank employee hasn't signed an NDR. Oh, I can't talk to you about this to you to put into my account.
Exactly.
It's stuff like that. Now, I have not read the legality of the contract, and I might be a little facetious in that statement. I understand that, but you get the point. You know, what it is that you can't talk with hardly anybody unless you're in a private one-on-one conversation, and you have to ask them first,
Have you signed an NDA?
Did you sign the NDA? Oh, I can talk to you.
Yeah, right.
You know, yeah. It's like you can't talk to your kids, you can't talk to your wife, you know. I mean, I got to tell people to shut the program off. I want to talk about the NDA. I want to talk about my dinar. You know, it's just ludicrous.
But David, I think the point that I was trying to emphasize or point out is, by them saying you cannot speak with somebody who has not signed an NDA, is that saying that there would be people who would be able to exchange theirs and they're going to hold their ground and they won't sign it, so you can't speak with them?
Yeah. I mean, that's a possibility, you know.
Because, again, it's black gold. I mean, it's credits, and the banks are going to make a lot of money on those credits.
Here's what's interesting. Tony was saying it was a 20-page document. It's been whittled down to 5. Are you going to sit down and read everything in those 5 pages and ask your attorney to come in and say, I want a legal interpretation on this before you turn in your dinar and dong? Can you see the headache it is for the bank?
Yeah.
And they have to say, they have to zip their lips and say, I can't comment, I can't comment, I can't comment. I mean, look what Homeland Security is trying to do to the banks. I feel sorry for the bankers in that situation because, Homeland Security has tied their hands. I mean, they could end up having lawsuits filed against them left and right on this thing. I mean, this is bigger than a can of worms. It's bigger than that.
David, in the long run, though, I mean, the same cabal that controls the government, and let's say in their own way, they also control the banks. So it's just kind of a facade at the end of the day, is it not?
Well, I know. I'm going to say this again. It just shows the insanity of those who are trying to put this in place. There's no logical reason for it. It can't be
There is, because they once you sign it, you are now held accountable. And for 10 years, you step out of line, you try to make any trouble and try to, make the world a better place, let's say, because now you have other members, friends who are also in that position who want to make things better and change the paradigm. You say one word wrong, and they just discovered something that you did or said or whatever, and now you've signed the paper, so they can take legal action against you, and you disappear.
You know,
it would work.
I want to be real careful about this statement. And, folks, I'm going to say it. This is the equivalent of a first step of a Gestapo control.
You think?
You think so, Ron?
Yeah, it's by the book.
You basically, if you sign that NDA, you've just signed your life over to the Department of Homeland Security. They can control, they have access to all of your bank records. They have the ability to basically put a noose around your neck and say, you can't talk or I'm going to tighten this noose up.
It almost seems like they make it difficult for you to actually invest in metals or anything else because everything is just a big to-do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is a first step of that. If And so, folks, man, you know, it's easy to draw the case that this is their ability to stop this thing, and it's their last-ditch attempt. You know, they're not. They may be insane, but they're not stupid.
No, they are not stupid. They're far from it. They are very well thought out. They are not dummies, and that's why
they're
there was a reason for what they're doing. You know, and you know, another thought that I had was regarding the truckers' march that's coming up. You know, there's going to be so much attention focused on that if the RV does not occur in the next 24 hours or whatever it is, I am wondering if they're going to wait for that opportunity when the entire nation is focused on whatever may occur in Washington to roll out the RV, because it would happen at the same time, and obviously they can give all the mass coverage to that and sort of like make the RV a thing that is barely whispered about.
I wouldn't be surprised. You know, they create diversions. They always create diversions in the news to kind of get what they want, to hide what. You know, let's go back to 9/11. Remember Donald Rumsfeld, the Secretary of Defense, on 9/10, the day before, having a press conference saying, folks, the Department of Defense just lost over $1 trillion. We don't know where it is.
Exactly.
You think that, you know, he says that on 9/10. Now, on a slow news day, that's going to carry news for months.
Sure.
The Department of Defense just absconded, lost, can't find over $1 trillion. And the next thing, 9/11 has, and nobody ever hardly remembers that press conference. Those are the diversions.
How convenient.
Yes. I mean, and I can go into another whole story about 9/11. That's not the purpose tonight.
Well, and that's the whole thing, you know, the whole Department of Homeland Security and everything that was put together because of that. I think it had a lot to do with keeping track of people's funds and everything else, creating this facade that, you know, we got to call terrorist money. What terrorist money? There were never any terrorists. Hello?
The power of the cabal is secrecy and creating things that make us fearful. Those are the two things that they use to have power and control over people. They keep things secret. They keep it in the dark, and manipulating or creating events that create fear for us. That's how they have power and control. And they're starting to lose that because you can't keep things secret anymore because of the internet.
Exactly.
Totally
ridiculous.
Right. When information only came out through mainstream media, you could control everything of what people knew, what they knew, what they didn't know.
Of course, right.
An individual could come up and tell the truth, but the individual is silenced in a heartbeat. When now the individual gets to put it on Facebook or somewhere else on the internet and it goes viral all around the world in a heartbeat, you can't stop that. They've been stripped of their ability of secrecy. And they've been trying to do things to still keep us in fear. And they're starting to lose that. And that's why I come back and I think this is one of their last-ditch attempts. And it's a desperation attempt on their part because it is so ridiculous, you know, of thinking that they can actually make this happen. It tells you how desperate they've become. They have become so desperate to come up with something like this that they know.
In a way, though, it's really – I mean, I understand that – I believe that many Americans are beginning to wake up and open their eyes and see, but still in percentage to those that are still asleep, it's quite a small percentage. I mean, you know, I don't know that – really think about how many people you know that really get it and how many people don't even have a clue yet about everything in general, you know, not just
with
an R.
But, Ron, here's what's interesting about this. This has the opportunity to wake up more people than almost anything else that's come by our way in a long time. When we start to think about that. Because if this is attempted to be carried out, let's say the RV does happen tonight. And all of a sudden, there's 3 to 4 million overnight millionaires here in the United States. There's an explosion of joy that's taking place, those of us who've had this happen. You can't stop that. It's going to get out there. And the news media is going to say, we can't cover it up anymore. There's just too much of it. And then they come in with this NDA and attempt to stop it. I'm sorry, the media is going to jump on that. Because, see, I think there are reporters out there that are tired of having the publishers and editors tell them what they can and can't write on, what they can and can't report on. There's reporters out there that want to tell the truth. And they're being...
And do the right thing.
And they want to do the... There's a ton of white hat reporters out there that want to do the right thing. But the reporter reports the story, but they don't decide what gets edited and put on the air or in the newspaper.
Of course.
They don't. They have no control over that. And they're tired of being... what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say blackmailed. They're tired of their artistic creativity, what they love to do, from being squelched. A lot
well,
of reporters
being,
love their jobs and they feel good
justice?
About what they do. I know. You see, so this is one of those things that could possibly wake up a lot of people. There's going to be a lot of people saying, "Wait a minute. Why was this kept from me in the first place that this was even happening?"
Or I was told it was a scam.
Why was I told it was a scam and it wasn't a scam? Why was this never in the news? Why was there never anything about that? And this has the ability to wake people up to say, you're being dominated and controlled. And the fact that those of us who got the money, they're trying to control us, it can wake up and say, wait a minute. If Department of Homeland Security can come in and control their money accounts, they do that to me too. You see, at some point in time, what is called a cataclysmic event takes place that wakes the people up collectively. And this could be the thing that's going to happen. It could be a blessing in disguise.
The 100th monkey, more or less?
It could be.
Where enough people are finally waking up.
You know, I hadn't thought of that until now, but it could be that. This could be the 100th monkey thing that's going to catapult a lot of people to say, wait a minute, what's going on here? You know, on both sides. They kept me in the dark. They didn't give me the opportunity to put this out there and know that it's happening. And then when it did happen, now they're trying to squelch and silence everybody who took place in it, who participated in it. See?
But, you know, in another way, it's also ingenious on their behalf because if you really think about it, how are the people who didn't get in on it going to feel towards the people who did get in on it? Are they going to feel animosity? Is there going to be that tension? You know, there's always that division that's always being created. Because when you have division, then you can keep people just, you know, not keep them from getting together and focusing on the real problem and seeing the real problem.
Yeah, there might be some of that. There might be, but I don't think it's going to be anywhere to what they think it is going to be, and that's their reasoning behind doing this. And it's ludicrous.
Yeah.
It's ludicrous to think you can keep it quiet.
It is. I think they're using that as a cover story, really. At the end of the day, they just want to have control.
You're signing
away your life.
Yeah. I'd say you better sit down and read that whole 5 pages. If you're going to sign it. It's not a simple non-disclosure agreement based on Tony.
It is not. Yeah.
Today.
I thought it's called, not simple
I mean,
at all.
Based on what Tony said, if he's right, what it says in there, it's called turning your life over to Homeland Security. So,
have you not seen a copy of it?
No. Tony said they wouldn't give him a copy to send out. He wanted to. If you read
somebody,
on the blog site.
Yeah, somebody actually put a copy up with a few pages on it.
They did. Where?
On TNT Dinar.
Okay, I haven't seen it yet, so.
Yeah, so.
That'd be interesting, so.
It's not a simple NDA by any means, so. But anyway, hey, David, thank you very much for your time. I really enjoyed our conversation, and wish you the
Thanks,
best.
Thanks, Ron. Okay, you too. All righty. You bet. Okay, next caller, we got about a half hour left, folks, so we'll get through all this here tonight. Next caller is from area code 828, and it says Globalman. Is that the name that's there? Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello.
David, it's been a very, very interesting discussion here, and my simple question has morphed into something that is complex that you haven't really touched on yet. But
okay.
And that would be the understanding that some of us have that this global currency reset really is to return from a completely worldwide debt system into an asset-based monetary system, and that that really couldn't be done until the United States Federal Reserve was eliminated and we left the Federal Reserve system, we left a fiat currency, and that we're waiting for a new Treasury note. Now, if that's the case, I understand that that's linked to the potential of bringing back the true Constitution or the true republic that that our country was supposed to be. And if that's the case, then any agreement signed with a Gestapo-type organization such as Homeland Security, which is totally unconstitutional, would also go out the door. But that's all theoretical conjecture. Can you want to comment on that a little bit?
Yeah, it is. And thanks. Let me say, first of all, I don't think the Federal Reserve has to go away. What the Federal Reserve can do is that its powers is transferred over to the U.S. Treasury. I do think it will eventually go away. Now, this is my opinion. This is just my opinion. I don't think we're going to see huge dramatic changes. I think we're going to see gradual transitions. There are some good things the Federal Reserve does. And you need to have a smooth, orderly transition as they transition their powers and responsibilities over to the U.S. Treasury. I don't think we're going to see a U.S. Treasury note come in overnight and a Federal Reserve note go away overnight. Because when I take a dollar bill, and whether I go into Walmart or Nordstrom's, it's a dollar bill. And they're going to accept it as a dollar bill, whether it says U.S. Treasury note or whether it says Federal Reserve note. And the other reason on that is there's only about 1% of us in the country that are participating in this reval. And if you all of a sudden overnight devalue the Federal Reserve note, you've created pandemonium, chaos, mayhem, rioting, and wars. Why? Because there's more U.S. currency outside of the border than the United States than there is inside the country. The U.S. dollar is still the world's reserve currency that all of the world recognizes. And you're going to be telling basically, I don't know, off the top of my head, 70, 80% of the world's population, your money became worthless overnight. There's going to be a smooth transition. There's going to be, I think there will be a decision that will be made saying we are going to go back to asset-backed currencies. And we are going to have that. But going to say the Federal Reserve note currencies that you have now, we are going through either through a law, through an executive order, we will recognize, we now declare they are asset-backed currencies. And okay, as they come into the bank system, they will be phased out and replaced. It's an orderly transition that has to take place. Otherwise, we're in World War III.
Well, that also addresses the fact that most of our monetary system really is digital, and we only have one digital system. We don't have two that can work side by side.
Right. So, when you put your money and you deposit in the bank, and you go in and you use your debit card at a store, whether it's Walmart or Nordstrom's, how are they supposed to know if it's Federal Reserve money or it's U.S. Treasury money? They don't know that. The system isn't set up to do that. It's not. You're going to have, see, an executive order of the president or an act of Congress can declare all of these monies that are out there that have been fiat monies, we are now declaring them asset-backed U.S. Treasury dollars. And we're going to phase the old currency bills out with the new ones. And that's all it takes. That way, you don't tell 99% of the people in this country your money just is worthless overnight and create a war.
Right. But looking at, and maybe you can comment on another big question, is that in a sense, Obama is really president of a corporation, and that our government ceased to be a true government and became a corporation, and all the subsidiary three-letter agencies are corporations, And Obama has issued, what, 492 executive orders, which would already permit the Homeland Security to do just about anything they wanted to do to you under the present situation with executive orders. So signing an NDA maybe officially gives them permission yourself to do what they've already been doing under the executive orders that have already been signed. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I see it just a little bit differently. We do have a constitution that is in place. And for almost everything other than finances, that constitution is still in place and operational. It's the financial part that falls under the U.S. corporation versus the U.S. Constitution. So our constitution is still there, but the financial part of the financial dealings of it has been overlaid on it. And it, as it is overlaid, because it still takes money to run everything of government, that is where that is the power of what you call the U.S. corporation. And that U.S. corporation is going to go away. And when that, and we see, when you go back, see, and that the U.S. corporation comes under the power of the Federal Reserve, where the people who control the Federal Reserve, they control the money of the world, they control the corporations, they control financial affairs of the United States, because all of the agencies, regardless of their one letter, two letter, three letter, ten letter, they all are dependent upon the budget of the United States to operate. So that's to control it. That's where we lost our republic. But when the duties and responsibilities of the Federal Reserve are stripped from them and transferred over to the U.S. Treasury, that's when that overlay of corporation is removed away and the Constitution gets to rise back up and be, again, the Constitution of the land. It's like it's been smothered, but it's still there. It's just been overlaid and it's not operational. It didn't go away. Our Constitution is still a really good Constitution. And there are still lots of it that are still in operation. But it's the financial part that is not. Now, that's how I see it.
Okay. Well, that's a good explanation. Coming back to something a little bit more generic here, in regard to the subject of the nondisclosure agreement, first of all, you should be entitled to a copy of the NDA, and particularly even before you sign it, because there's going to be a lot of people who I would think, and I may be among them, that would insist to getting a copy of it so that I could study it, have a representative or consul study it, and decide whether I was going to be advised to sign it or not to sign it. And even after you did sign something like that, you're entitled to a copy of it. So if you want to pass it down to a contractor later on, that you would have a copy to so that they would know what they were signing or they were agreeing to, if they were going to become your consul, your accountant, or something like that, that they would know that they what they could and couldn't talk about. So I think that's an important aspect of it. And one more thing in comment on when Tony first mentioned this as being potentially 20 pages, that was considering that it could have been a bank-sponsored NDA. And when he came out yesterday and today and said, no, it's 5 pages, and this is an NDA with the government, not with the bank, I think that was a very important distinction, that took the bank out of it, other than having to be more or less the enforcer that, in essence, would insist that you sign this before they can do business with you. But it'll be interesting to see how this really settles out, because I know it's going to ruffle an awful lot of feathers for an awful lot of people. But as your prior caller, Ron, said, it really is an exercise of control over how heart-minded people decide to spend their money to change the paradigm.
Yeah, and you made a good point. Because, see, when it came out, I was under the impression that it was the banks doing it. And I thought, they're so stupid. Why are they doing this? I thought, this is a bank's nightmare. It's a public relations disaster. It's a legal, it'd be the worst legal nightmare of their whole career. And I'm thinking, why are they doing this? And then today he came out and said, no, it's Homeland Security that's forcing them to do it. And I thought, well, okay, that makes sense. It's, you know, Big Brother forcing them to do it. That's what it is. So, yeah. So, but who knows what's going to come out of this? Who knows? Well, You know, Tony says he's 99.99999% sure it's going to be tonight. So,
has
anybody heard anything? It's 7:39 on the clock in my computer, Pacific time, which means it's 10:39 Eastern Coast time. Has anybody heard? I haven't heard anything. So, yeah.
Nope. Another day just like the other day. Okay, thank you very much for considering my comment.
All righty, thanks a lot. Okay, good night. Yeah.
Night.
Okay, we're going to one more caller, and I am going to area code 754 from Florida, and I have the name as Kino. Is that right? Did I get your name right? Hello, are you there? Hello. You don't see me there. Kino from Florida, area code 754. There we are.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you now. Did I get your name right, Keanu?
Keanu.
Okay, great. Well, welcome on the air tonight. What can I help you with?
I heard a guy on a call saying if you had lower denoms, like the 50s, and if you bought it 3 years ago, you can make some money off it. I have some lower denoms. I have the 50s. Well, around 20 million, and I actually called up Goldman Sachs to see how much they'll give me for the 50s, and they told me they'll give it to me, give me 150,000 US for my 20 million 50 notes.
How much is that per dollar? That's what I'm coming about. How much is that per dollar? What's the conversion rate on it?
4 years ago.
I know, but what's the conversion rate per dollar? That's the question.
I don't know. From what I'm hearing is that because they're so rare, and it says it's going to be what Iraq is going to be using long term, they're worth more. They're the more value. They're worth more than obviously the larger notes.
So they have
a higher value. So what do you think about
higher,
that?
By what you're describing to me, it sounds like they have a value as a collector's item, not as a current foreign exchange currency item. Because when you go into a bank, whether you have a dollar bill that's 100 years old or it's brand new, it's still only $1. And that's based on the current foreign exchange rates. So if you have a 50 dinar note that's 4 years old versus a 50 dinar note that's brand new printed, it's still only going to be worth the foreign exchange rate. And if they are offering you more than the current exchange rate, which I think is around 11.62 to the dollar today, then they're seeing something else in it. And again, I don't know what your exchange rate is when they say they're going to give you $150,000. But if the dinar revalues at just what it was in 1990, your 20 million dinar is going to be worth about $70 million. Do you want $150,000 or do you want $70
million? Well, what my strategy was is I have 20 million and 50 Ks. I could sell that, make a profit. And I have a ton of several millions of high notes. So even if it does revalue, I can cash out my 10, 5K, and 25K notes. So,
we really don't know
how long this thing is going to take. So
I can't answer that. I don't know. T. Antoni says it's supposed to happen tonight. Eagle One on Dinar Recap said it's supposed to happen tonight. You know, I don't know, but people for 4 and 5 months have been saying it's supposed to happen tonight. I can't answer those questions for you. That's a personal decision that you have to make yourself because I'm not in your shoes and I don't know what your circumstances are. But I would say
it's not about any circumstance. It's about, at least from my aspect, we don't know how long it's going to take. Plus, I haven't even got a return of my investment and been in it for more than 4.5 years now. So that's
some
really
people
the
have been
whole
in
point.
It.
Yeah, I know.
Some people have been in it 10 years, and some people have been in it 2 days.
Yeah, I know.
When you do a currency exchange, it's a cash for cash exchange based on the current rate. That's all that it is. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, I know.
Now, and so it just depends on how long do you want to wait. And
but what do you think? What do you think? What's your take on that?
Well, based on what keeps coming out of the reports on the Recaps blog site, it should be happening any day. Why? And to even maybe another week or two. And that I can only go on the information that everybody else is getting. And that's what I'm reading on those sites because I don't have inside intel sources like Tony and Eagle and Oki and all those other guys have. I don't have those inside intel sources. I act as a reporter and an analyst. I'm not an intel person. So I report and analyze what I see with the information that's coming out to all of us. And I give my opinion. And that's all I can do. And so if when you ask when is it going to happen, I'd say, well, read the blog sites. You'll know the same thing I know. And then, you know, we all make a decision on that together. So I wish I could give you more. I can't. That's all I got for now. So.
What do you think about everybody's talking about Zimbabwe and the Zimbabwe?
I don't know enough about Zimbabwe to comment on it. Anything I say would be just be pure speculation, so I really can't say. You know, if you've got some extra money to throw away, and it's a speculation issue, it would be speculation if you wanted to buy some Zimbabwe currency. I'd buy the Indonesian rupiah before I'd buy Zimbabwe. Or I'd buy the Vietnamese dong before I'd buy Zimbabwe. So I don't have enough information to give a good, what I call qualified comment on it. Okay.
How long you doing the show?
Well, I used to do a radio show for almost a year that was called Let's Talk 2012 and Beyond. And I had a partner, a co-host on that program. She wanted to go on her own. So I took about a four-month break, and then I started this program back up just 4 weeks ago. So I've been on the air for 4 weeks now. And I'll end up talking about a lot of other stuff, but right now, the dinar and dong reval is the hot topic, and it's the one that most of the people want to know about. And so that's why I'll continue these conversations as long as it is the hot topic. So, because I can talk about this stuff. I've got experience around this stuff. So, banking and finance, market trader, former senator, 25 years in military reserves. So, yeah. So I can kind of talk about it. So I got some experience around that stuff. And I got the spiritual side of it. What a lot of people of you may not know, I'm also a former minister. I'm a seminary graduate. I have a master's degree in theology. So so I come from that perspective as well. So I guess I'd bring a balanced perspective into the thing. So.
All right, man. Nice talking to you.
Yeah, good. All right. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Good night. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to go to one more caller. I've got 12 minutes left when it's telling me here on my switchboard. I says I'm on the air and my stream left is now 11 minutes and 55 seconds. I'm going to go to a lady that is coming from the East Coast, area code 757, and it's Barbara from Virginia. Barbara, how are you tonight?
Hi there. I'm well, thank you.
Good.
Can you hear me okay?
What can I help you with? I can hear you just fine.
I have just a fairly simple question, I hope. So I just recently learned about this, and I was drawn to the spiritual aspect of it because I've been following spirituality for years and years anyway. And it sounded really interesting, and so I followed your links, and I bought some dinar from the site that you recommended, and that they were certified, the one in Long Island. But I noticed that they were all printed in 2003, and I just wondered about that. Is that like okay? It's like, why are they selling them that are 10 years old, or do you know anything about that?
No, Barbara, if you purchase them from the one that I recommended to you there in Long Island, you're fine. Because if you notice,
okay.
It's brand new currency. It's brand new currency. It's uncirculated currency, and the serial numbers are registered. So
yeah.
The folks there in Long Island, they're certified broker dealers, they, my understanding, that they get the currency directly from the printer, which is the Delarue company in the United Kingdom, UK. And they are the ones that print the currencies for the country of Iraq. It is Iraq's current currency that they are using. If you were in the country of Iraq and you went up to an ATM machine and you pulled out some 25K notes, that's the same ones, exact ones that you have in your hand. So it's, you know, the folks there at, you know, they're in Long Island, they're good people. And they're only giving you what is called current. Because it should have a brand new feel to it. And I assume it does. See, and it could be the fact, it could be the fact that it says 2003 on it. That could not necessarily be the print date, but that was the date that that currency was put into use. Just as you can get a brand new. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I know that was the year that the U.S. invaded Iraq, so I figured maybe they were starting some new currency or something.
They did. That's when they got rid of their old currency that had the pictures of Saddam Hussein on it. They got rid of that, and this was the new currency that came in, and that they've been using in country since then.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, good.
Okay?
Great, thank you.
All right, okay. Anything else? Pardon?
Many blessings. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Barbara. Thanks for calling.
Okay,
good night. Okay. All right, going on to the next caller here. And I have a caller from area code 908. His name is Mike, and he is from New Jersey. Mike, can you hear me here? You're on the air.
Yes, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. What can I help you with?
Glad to speak to you. I just want to ask a question about the dinar when you do your exchange. Do you need a receipt for all the dinar that you purchase? Because if I wanted to give some to, say, my family member, and I bought it from one place, and I gave, say, a 25K note to my sister, does she need a receipt for that? Because that receipt has to be attached to what I gave from her.
Not really. It's cash.
Okay,
if you give
$100 bill.
No, if you give a $100 bill to somebody, do they need a receipt for that to take it in?
No.
Let's say, it's all cash. At its very bottom base, Mike, it's nothing more than a cash for cash exchange. It's no different than taking in a Canadian $100 bill to a bank and say, give me some American cash back. But they're not going to give you cash. They're going to give you either a cashier's check or put it into your bank account because it's too much cash.
Right.
When you go, and that's if you go up to the bank to the teller window and do what is called the street rate. When you go into the private group rate meeting, it may be a little different. They may have a few other little requirements. They may do a little things differently. At the bottom, when it's all said and done, it's just a cash for cash exchange. That's all it is. No need to make it complicated.
So the street rate, going to the street rate is different from the going to have a meeting.
Now, that is what is being proposed. That is what is being talked about. And that is what we are assuming. It is not etched in stone. It goes back to the concepts of the oil credits. And what I recommend, if you don't quite understand that, go back and read that Q&A article that's posted on my blog site. And that'll help you understand why we can go into this private meeting and get a higher rate than what's happening in the street at teller window. Now, there's talk and there's speculation that this rate may only last for 30 days. We don't know that. And a lot of it right now, it's all speculation, and we aren't going to know what's going to happen until it happens. But I'd say be ready for it to happen. Take advantage of it. We're consumers in this issue. So be like a consumer and know that there's a responsibility that you have for yourself, be a consumer, and it appears we're being given the opportunity to get a much higher rate than what I call the street rate.
Got you. Now, as far as like the whole talk for years was about dinar and everybody's talking about Iraq and everything. No one even really talked about where the dong came from or their country. Is the dong really going to revalue, or is that just speculation? because there's really no talk about it. Just it's a value, and they're giving numbers about it.
Well, I think it's going to. Most of us think it's going to. And again, the difference in, and you'll see this on that Q&A article that I wrote,
okay.
It's what is called the Iraqi dinar revalue versus the global currency reset. If the global currency reset happens, and that's what the vast majority of everybody think is going to happen, then the dong is going to revalue as well.
Right.
We just have a lot more intelligence and information on the dinar, and we don't have that on the dong. And the reason for dinar is because all the drama around that, what happened with the war and the United Nations, you know, sanctions and stuff like that. See, and the Indonesian rupiah falls into the same category as the Vietnamese dong.
Right.
And the Zimbabwe currency falls into that same category. Those are four currencies that are currently totally out of balance with the rest of the world's currencies. When we move into a global currency reset, what's happening is we're going back to what is called asset-backed currencies. So it's the value of the assets in that country that is going to determine its currency's value. Because the dinar, the dong, and the rupiah are so out of balance, but their assets are valuable, their currencies are going to explode in contrast to the other 180 currencies around the world. The other 180 currencies aren't going to change much at all. It's those three, possibly four, that are going to change.
All right. I appreciate your call.
Okay. All right. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Good. Anything else I can help you with?
That's it, sir. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for calling, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Good night. Well, folks, thank you. I'm getting down where I got about 3 minutes left. And great program tonight. Yeah, I got up on my soapbox a little bit here talking about the NDA issue. I think you know where I'm coming from. And I really want to emphasize again, I am not here to throw stones at anybody, to castigate anybody. My intention is I want to just be able to bring some light on this issue. And, you know, the more I think about it, the more we've talked about it here tonight, the more your input has come in, your emails coming in to me. For the life of me, I can't figure out why they want to do this other than it's about power and control. I am really trying to figure it out. And what I'm seeing is I'm seeing a group of people that are basically making an insane decision because they don't have anything left to go on. That's all they can do. And it's just plain flat out stupid to think they can enforce it. But you need to make a decision for yourself. I'm not going to tell you whether you can sign it or not. I'm not. And could it be a possibility the Homeland Security may just say, oh, who cares? It could be. But is that a risk that you want to take? Now, I'm only going off the information that I've seen printed up, that I printed in my hand in front of me, and it's posted on the Dinar Recaps blog site today, and it was from the post from TNT Tony Wednesday, the recorded link and the phone call he had today. And I printed it, and I'm reading on that. And based on what I have in front of me, to me, it looked like, you know, you're kind of turning your life over to the Homeland Security. That you're basically giving them the permission to have total access to your financial endeavors, and you're giving them permission to say when you can talk to people and when you can't. So, and do you want that? And do you want to have that? We'll go more from here on this. We'll see more of what's going to happen. I'm not here trying to lead a parade into a revolution against Homeland Security. I don't have that intention. That's not my intention. I'm not here trying to do that. I'm just trying to inform. It was what I said to one of the previous callers. I don't have inside intel information. I'm acting like a reporter and an analyst. Reporting to you what I'm seeing, the information that's coming out, and I'm analyzing that and giving you my opinion and wanting you to think about some of the stuff that goes on here, okay? Well, folks, thanks. Okay, I don't know if you guys can hear that recording, but I do. This is, I've got 60 seconds left before they're going to cut me off. So, but thank you so much, folks, for coming on, joining tonight. You know, share this with other folks. My blog site, sonaconnection.com, is where you can get the links. My email is daveschmidt@msn.com. Send me some emails. Send me some comments. If you got some questions, send me your questions. That's what I'm here to do. And I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to all the folks that you supported me so I can continue to give full time to this, because otherwise I was just going to have to go for the job. I love all of you. Thank you so much. I'm getting to do what I love to do, and I hope this has been helpful for you. We're in this journey together, folks. We're all in this together. We're learning this together. This is a new road we've been down before. Okay? All right. Love you all. Thanks. See you next week. Bye-bye.